staying true to his word and protecting us through Christ Jesus. And thank my family for their support and yours, because you have all contributed to raising up men and women of God. My lesson today is based off of Romans 8, chapter 8, 18, verses 18 through 23. You don't necessarily have to turn to it. I'll read it for you. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I'm pretty sure we can all agree on the condition of the world right now. And it's not just America, because I know that we Americans believe that it's just us on this planet. But with all seriousness, it's amazing how prophecy is unfolding itself right before our eyes. Think about it. Everything we have read in the Word was a foretelling of now, and the fact that the foundation has been laid by Christ and all of our brothers and sisters who have been through the fiery trial on earth, all the sacrifice and tragic bloodshed from our martyrs, this indicates that this book has some weight to it. The Bible is literally banned in 52 different countries, and you have to ask yourself why. It's the same book I can just get at the dollar store for a dollar. And you know, we say things like this ignorantly because we in America have been like spoiled children who have abused the freedom and the grace of God to have luxuries on earth. Meanwhile, we have brothers, sisters in other countries being outcasted by society, harassed, and martyred. Murdered, sorry. 52 different countries the Bible is banned from. Is banned because Satan is scared for a human being having a transforming and renewing of the mind, soul, and heart. So Satan uses his influence to attack the mind. It's the same old trick in the garden. You know, we got to give him credit because he's crafty. He convinced a third of heaven's angels to turn on God with lies. So you really think he can't convince you? We know the devil is out seeking whom he can devour. So we have to be cautious about how we conduct ourselves. The accuser wants us to slip up, so all he has to do is plant a thought in our mind to get us to question God's authority. The same, and since God respects our free will, he doesn't interfere all the time, but always gives us a way out. You know, I don't think we are, you know, truly aware of the calamity and destruction sin causes. It can be as easy as me lying about, you know, stealing a snack that wasn't mine, but at the same time, that sin spreads like a cancer. Because in my mind, I justified the quote-unquote small evil, but little do I know is that I will set an example for anybody to justify their sin. And it goes on and on until this one thought is in the minds of other people, thus partaking and separating people from God, making us an enemy of God because we're fighting against him and his word. That's why it's important for us to reflect on every moment and every second and examine ourselves on how you exalted Jesus and shared his gospel. If you would, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 11:31. It's just one verse. It's not too long. And say amen. Will you have it, please? First Corinthians 11:31 says, "But if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." And in the verses above, Paul makes it clear that if we don't take Christ seriously, then there are consequences on earth and at the day of judgment. You will give an account for all your recklessness concerning God and be guilty of the death of Christ. So, church, let us be serious about our God. You know, our true character has been revealed during this whole COVID crisis. We are just like Pharaoh. We fear the plagues, but don't fear God. And, you know, I'm guilty of this, too. I'm not coming here to attack anybody, but this is something that we all need to hear. You know, I was also lacking in my devotion to the Lord. My prayer life was fading, and fear almost consumed me until the Holy Spirit convicted me. You know, our God is the master of the universe and our existence. Our God parted the Red Sea, made fire rain down from heaven, and formed the universe just in 7 days. Do you really think he can't protect you? And honestly, I believe that people die from a lack of faith. Because if you have faith, then you know God is exactly who he says he is in the eternal scriptures. And if you're scared of the world, that means you don't trust God, which makes your testimony folly. Our first century church were like warriors with shining armor compared to us today. They were hung, tortured, burned, fed to lions, crucified, and beheaded for the faith. Meanwhile, we're worried about what new color we're going to paint the church building. And it's ludicrous when you think about it. And we're all guilty. Like I said, it's not an attack on anybody, but just a conviction. We have so much to be thankful for. There's a lot of blood behind this book, especially to lay the foundation for us in this specific time period to preach the gospel. We have the Holy Spirit. Nothing is impossible. We have to be willing to die for Jesus. This is not a game. It actually matters on how you're living your life. Are you living to be happy on earth, or is every day a new day to reach and share the gospel and living for Christ? Are you his servant or his enemy? It's imperative that you listen to what I'm saying, because you will stand before the great white throne and give an account for everything good or bad in our lives. And nothing is hidden. God will literally spill the tea on everybody. I'll be judged, me personally, I know for me, I'll be judged strictly because I'm up here preaching to you guys. I have to make sure that I come correctly and, you know, give you sound doctrine and, you know, the truth. Because I don't want any, you know, and God doesn't want either. He doesn't want any of us to perish. But, you know, we get so blinded and we have a veil over our face to, you know, his actual word, and we try to justify it in our minds and fight it in our hearts when there's no running from it. Because, like, you know, you can die in the next 5 minutes, and it's a wrap after that, after you draw your last breath. So quit holding grudges, being mean, spiteful, gossiping, slandering, vengeful, disrespecting your parents, cursing, listening to vile music, manipulating people to get what you want, guilt tripping, being sexually immoral, preaching prosperity gospels, hating your brother, and most importantly, doing all of that and coming back in here saying Jesus is Lord. No, he's not, because I guarantee you if you drop dead right now and got judged, God will tell you, depart from me. I know you not. And you want to know why? Because you never knew him. And you will be separated from God and his presence forever. And all the things you take for granted will be taken from you, and you will no longer have the perks and goodies of God because you live separate from him. Then you will be thrown into a lake of fire along with Satan and his angels. You see, church, this makes our jobs detrimental, because if we don't, then that is another lost soul who died in their sins, and they could have been saved if you and me reached them. Church, we need to let our lives be a testimony, let our works be a demonstration of our faith. And we do these things because we love God, not that works justify our spot in heaven, but we do this because we love God. You know, I'm going to tell you a quick story. It happened Thanksgiving Day, and, you know, another conviction. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit works. I have a friend, I don't know if I've talked about him before, but his name is Savion. And when I was staying in Columbia, you know, I was going through some things, and, you know, a lot of the youth, and even in different areas of the world, you know, they fight demons on a daily. And Savion, you know, I grew up with him ever since I was little. I went to elementary school with him, middle school, and high school, and, you know, we're still friends to this day. But I never had the courage to tell him about the gospel. And, you know, Savion, my friend, and just like all of my other friends, you know, they literally walk around dead. They're literally dead men walking. And, you know, I was too, because, you know, we're all fighting demons. And, you know, I could see it in his eyes. I could see it that there was no God in him. And it was like a cry for help. And, you know, and me personally, you know, being raised in the church, you know, I have an obligation to spread the gospel, you know, to people, not just, you know, go street preaching on, but, you know, reaching people who you come in contact with every day, you know. And so, you know, for a long time, because I wasn't doing the things he was doing, and, you know, like indulging in sin, you know, I had to separate myself a little bit from him, and he wouldn't understand why, and also I didn't have the courage to tell him why. So, you know, on this particular Thanksgiving Day, I told him, you know, he was like, oh, it looks like you forgot about me again, man. And, you know, that tore me up. But I met up with him, and, you know, I prayed. And, you know, this is my first time actually, like, being on the battlefield and, you know, preaching and sharing the gospel. You know, I talked to him, and we sat in his car, you know, talking for about an hour. You know, I had to come down to North Carolina for Thanksgiving with my people. But, you know, we sat in there talking for an hour, and, you know, I explained the gospel to him thoroughly so that he could understand it. And, you know, when you're sharing the gospel, you have to let people know of the sins that they are in, because they'll open their eyes sooner or later, and they'll be like, yo, he was right. You know, I mean, no matter how they're feeling or whatever, they'll be like, you know, even if they think about it later, it's a seed planted, and he's like, yo, he's right. But, you know, I told him I was for real about this, and I told him how long I've been wanting to spread it with him, how long I've been wanting to share it with him. And, you know, it wasn't a bribe, but I had some shoes, some Jordans, you know, and I know we all, like, you know, the kids like Jordans. And, you know, I personally like shoes. I like them. But, you know, it's earthly and material things. And, you know, I told him, I said, you know, just so you know, I'm serious about this, and this is not a bribe, and I'm not selling you the gospel, but I'm going to get these shoes to you. And then, you know, soon after later, I was like, you know, this is my first time. This is my first time actually doing this up front. So we sat and talked, and I was like, you know, man, before I leave, can I pray with you? I sat there and prayed, got up from the prayer, and, you know, I looked at him. And, you know, you could see the veins in his eyes because he had been holding so much back. And he hugged me, man. And he said, man, I needed that. He said, nobody's ever reached out to me like that. And, you know, it made me cry. We sat in the car crying for, like, you know, about 30 minutes. And, you know, sooner or later we had to, you know, put our pride back on our shoulders and be like, all right, man, you need to suck it up now. But, you know, and after that, I was like, I truly beheld the power of God. Amen. That is the power of God. Like, you know, for 10, 12 years, or, you know, however long I knew Savion, you know, he's been thinking a certain way. And I know I told him, you know, he was like, man, you know, I don't know if I want to come yet because I want to be baptized yet because I know I'm going to sin later. I said, Savion, I said, no, I said, the best time is to do it now, man. I said, I'll arrange everything. I said, you know, whenever you give me the time, I'll, you know, just let me know when, man. And, you know, I was like, it's the Holy Spirit is a working process. You're not, you know, a lot of, you know, we set, not we, but sometimes other people that come in Christ's name set the example that as soon as you become a believer, that you're perfect. You know, you're saved, but you're just perfect. No, this is a struggle every day. You're fighting against your flesh and you're denying your flesh. So I said, man, you know, as soon as possible, man, you know, I'm not judging you because literally I grew up with you and we were doing the same things. I said, I'm not judging you, man. You know, just it's urgent, man, because I don't want you to die in your sins. I said, you know, we're all going to give an account to me too, man. I said, and I don't want to be, you know, I don't want, you know, God to ask me, you know, well, you had all these people that you were supposed to minister to. You had your loved ones. And, you know, what did you do? That's right. What did you do? Amen. And, you know, but after that moment, I went back. I came to North Carolina, you know, praising God the whole way through, you know, and thanking him. Like, I couldn't hold it in. I was like, yo, this is what Jesus means. Like, that's why, you know, heaven rejoices when the sinner repents, you know. But, you know, I ain't going to hold y'all too long. But, yeah, I just want us to, you know, really think about, you know, how we are living our lives in Christ. And I'm not saying any of us are perfect, because if that was the case, then Jesus wouldn't have to come back here. But, you know, I want you guys to, you know, think about this. I hope I convicted you, you know, and I pray that we all, you know, we all will be ready. So in conclusion, church, you know, don't be afraid of these times. Stand tall in the faith and fight. Fight for your soul and do everything in your power to reach a soul who was once like you. I want to read these two verses to you and let you go. And if you would, please turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5, verses 10 through 11. Say amen when you have it, please. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciousness. And I want to read one more verse to you. I promise I'm going to let you go. Isaiah 52:7. Please turn over there with me, please. sorry, give me 1 second.
2 seconds.
And this is for all of us because we all are supposed to share the gospel and evangelize. It's not just certain people in the church, it's everybody. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good things, that publisheth peace and bring good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. And you know, that verse has been in my mind for a long time, because just like that, you know, that event, you know, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And I know heaven was rejoicing. I know the angels were, you know, giving praise, and you know, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. It's not, you know, stuck on staying here on earth, because this earth is not our home. But we want to prepare ourselves and each other in the lost and dying world for the life to come after. I know we all don't want to hear "depart from me." Nobody wants to hear that. But what must we do to be saved? We must first hear the gospel, believe it, repent of all our sins, confess that Christ is Lord, be baptized, and remain faithful unto death. If anyone has a need tonight or needs to be saved, please come and stand as we sing our song of invitation.
Yeah.